we appreciate you being here, and we trust that we're all here for no other purpose but to teach about Christ, to study about Christ, and to worship our God. If any man suffer as a Christian, let him not be ashamed, but let him glorify God on this behalf. 1 Peter 4:16. If we suffer, we shall also reign with him. If we deny him, he also will deny us. Paul's words to Timothy, 2 Timothy 2:12. We began last week a two-part lesson on blessed are the persecuted. And we've been studying the Beatitudes from the Sermon on the Mount, Matthew chapter 5. This verse we're studying now is from verse 10 of chapter 5. Why were the early Christians persecuted? We went over those some length last week. First of all, they were different. They were different. To Jesus' followers, he had warned them of this. He said, if you were of the world would love his own. So these people were different. Number two, relationship with other religious groups. We were talking in our Sunday morning Bible class, in the book of Ephesians, about the Apostle Paul going to that city, finding idolatry running rampant, people worshiping idols, hard for them to tear away from idols. He found a synagogue of the Jews there, preached there for 3 months. So he had at least two religious groups, idol worships, worshipers, and the unbelieving Jews, those who were not accepting Christ, that caused difficulty. In fact, in Acts 13, verse 50, where Paul was at one of the towns on his missionary journey in Antioch, of Pisidia, it says that the Jews stirred up the people and raised persecution against Paul and Barnabas. So these men were missionaries. They were there to teach the word of God, to teach the gospel, and they were persecuted because of what they taught. Physical families were divided back at that time. Can you imagine being in the city of Ephesus, where they had some great shrines for their goddesses and gods? And yet, Paul came in, and Barnabas and others, and were teaching that there be no gods made by hand. And those who were making a living by making replicas, so-called replicas, of their goddesses and gods didn't take to that very well. They didn't like it very well at all. Eventually, Paul had to leave town. Families were divided. Parts of a family, you can imagine, extended family, grandmother, grandfather, aunts, uncles, children, grandchildren. Of course, they were not all converted at one time. So you would have one individual in a family converted, be in the same family with one who worshipped idols, or with several who worshipped idols. That constant pressure. A man's foe shall be of his own household, Jesus said. And in Matthew 6, Jesus said the solution, and really the problem too, because you seek first the kingdom of heaven and his righteousness. They were accused of atheism, these early Christians. Why? Well, the emperor and the Roman government wanted the people to worship the emperor, to fall down and to worship the emperor. And these people were different. They wouldn't do that. And so they were accused of refusing to treat these Roman emperors, Roman rulers, as gods. Jesus said on one occasion regarding their relationship of the Christian to government, render unto Caesar the things that are Caesar's, and to the things that to God the things that are God, as he was talking to them about paying their taxes. So no wonder Jesus had earlier said in the Sermon on the Mount, blessed are the persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. These people were needing encouragement right then. This wasn't something that was written back there, and it was written only for us way down here in the 21st century, whichever. And we might say, well, we're not being persecuted. Well, it was written to a group of people, and they were being persecuted. And if I say I'm not being persecuted, or there's not someone or somebody giving me difficulty because I'm a Christian, maybe I need to look in the mirror to see what they are seeing. I'll probably get this wrong, but one fellow was saying that this other fellow said, you know, said, if you were going before court, you're trying to prove you were a Christian, would there be enough evidence for the judge to be convinced? Would there be enough evidence for the judge to be convinced that you are a Christian? And one day we will be before court, before a judge. And he will judge us on the account of the things that we have done and the way we have lived. The word blessed was mentioned several weeks ago in these Beatitudes. The blessed appears in front of each of them. The Greeks used this word to refer to the happy state of their gods. And yet, as we've used it in conjunction with our spiritual life, it's a contentment that is not dependent upon the circumstances of life. A contentment. Happiness. And you know, happiness and contentment seems to be elusive to folks these days, doesn't it? It's hard to grab a hold of. We see that other people have so much. They do so many evil things, and there's no instant retribution. In fact, for many, they can get caught by the police, and there's no retribution at all. The judges will, or the jurors will let them out. Blessed are the persecuted. What are some forms of persecution today? Well, one, likely found in Luke chapter 6, verse 22, is rejection. Rejection. In fact, in that verse, as Luke gives part of this particular beatitude, he says, blessed are you when men shall hate you, when they shall separate you from their company. Sometimes it's good not only to read Matthew's account of the Beatitudes and Sermon on the Mount, but go over to the parallel account in Luke. Blessed are ye when men shall hate you and when they shall separate you from their company. Because they didn't fit in that crowd anymore. Did you ever go to I've been out on some of these trips with some auditors up near New York City for about 14 weeks. And I felt uncomfortable many times. Because I didn't drink, I had to drive a bunch of drunks around. And I felt uncomfortable. Anything that they wanted to do, anywhere they wanted to go, their first thought was, you know, to get something to drink. And the cursing that went on. What was said. But they didn't treat me really. They didn't want me as part of their company except to be a driver. I arrived at that conclusion pretty quick. And some folks will not accept us today because of the company we keep, Jesus Christ. Because we want to be like Christ and they see in us something that they don't see in themselves. And you know, that's a form of criticism, at least as far as that person is concerned. I mean, if you're living your life as you should live it for Christ, and I'm over here and I'm just lackadaisical, I may be, quote, a Christian, but I may not be paying too much attention to what the Bible says. Well, I may not hang around you very much because you're Mr. or Miss Goody Two Shoes. We just like to throw little names out. We probably don't do that as much as the young people used to. But it's Luke said, that folks will separate you from their company. Slander, Mark 3:21. Of Jesus it was said, on one occasion, as he was doing various things and the statements he was making, the places he was going, they said, he's beside himself. Were you ever beside yourself? They were really saying he was a little bit cuckoo. They really were saying he wasn't all there. He was strange. Didn't fit into the mold that they expected. He is beside himself. Stephen. When Stephen spoke up for Christ there in Acts chapter 7, the city of Jerusalem, as he gave a history lesson to those questioning Jews, and as he told them that they were part of the ones who crucified the Savior when he finally arrived, they didn't want to hear it. They gnashed on him with their teeth, the Bible says. Now you got to get pretty angry to start chewing on somebody and start getting after them. But they were angry. He was saying things they didn't want to hear. Don't say it. But Jesus says here in this beatitude, Matthew 5:10, blessed are ye which are persecuted for righteousness' sake. Not just for doing something and then getting caught. Folks who do wrong and suffer for it, a lot of times what would we say? They're getting what they deserve. But see, when you, as a Christian, when you're living for Christ and someone is picking at you or someone is saying something against you, that's undeserved suffering. And that's the suffering that Jesus is talking about. And this was real. This wasn't just a list of commandments that these people said, whoa, I better do this command. They were going through persecution. They needed this encouragement. They needed this encouragement. They needed someone to say, let me put a pat on you, I'll pat you on the back. For theirs is the kingdom of heaven. For theirs. Who's that? Well, those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake. Blessed are they which are persecuted for righteousness' sake. For theirs is the kingdom of heaven. In what ways are the persecuted righteous blessed? In what ways are we blessed? Well, the fact that theirs is the kingdom of heaven, promise of eternal life for those who live their life as Jesus would like for us to. If you have your Bibles, turn with me, and I have it marked so I can get there rather rapidly. Philippians chapter 1, and then we're going to Philippians 3, so we'll get two birds with one stone there. Philippians chapter 1. Look at verse 27 through 30. We'll read those four verses. Philippians 1, 27 through 30. Paul is in prison when he's writing this. He's in Roman prison. Chapter 1, 13, so that my bonds in Christ, he speaks of his bonds in Christ. But he's speaking to these people that he doesn't have a whole lot to say about the problems that are there because evidently they didn't have that many problems. And yet, he still cautions them and he still seeks to encourage them. Only let your conversation or your way of life or behavior be as it becometh the gospel of Christ, that whether I come and see you or else be absent, I may hear of your affairs, that you stand fast in one spirit, with one mind, striving together for the faith, singular, of the gospel, and in nothing terrified by your adversaries. They were going to have adversaries. They were going to have problems, he said, which is to them an evident token of perdition, but to you of salvation, and that of God. Now listen to verse 29 and 30. But unto you it is given in the behalf of Christ, not only to believe on him, but also to suffer for his sake. Having the same conflict which you saw in me and now here to be in me. When Paul was in Philippi, he was placed in jail, at least for the night there, and I'm sure he went back several other times to this city. But he spoke to them there of the need to continue to strive for the gospel, a need to be encouraged despite those things which would bring them down. Paul says, you're going through some of the same stuff that Jesus went through. You're going through some of the things that I currently am going through. I know there are certain times when certain things happen in our lives. We lose a loved one. We lose a job. Or we have this or that sickness for our own self. We wonder, you know, why is this happening? Am I the only one going through something like this? And yet we're not. There's always someone who has been down that same road and had those same problems. And many have come through those difficulties. I used to say when I visited people in the hospital, well, I understand how it's going with you. I understand how you feel. When they say, you know, well, I'm hurting, I'm doing this, and I got this kind of problem, and I don't know what I'm going to do with this or that. And really, I didn't understand. It's difficult to understand what folks go through when they're in intense pain unless you've ever been in intense pain. Or unless you know someone that you can talk to who's been in intense pain. Jesus has been in intense pain. If you can't find anybody else, any other human being that's been in that same intense pain, someone you can talk to. We can talk to God. And Jesus mediates on our behalf. After all, we pray to God through Jesus Christ, through His name. Look over at Philippians 3. Paul had a lot of things that were going positive for him as a Jew before he became a Christian. He had good education. He had Roman citizenship. He was, back in verse 5, he says, circumcised the 8th day, stock of Israel, the tribe of Benjamin, Hebrew of Hebrews. I was a Pharisee, concerning zeal, persecuted the church, you name it, and I was there. Verse 7, but what things were gained to me, those I counted loss for Christ. Yea, doubtless, and I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things and do count them but waste or dung, that I may win Christ and be found in Him, not having my own righteousness, which is the law, but that righteousness which is through faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith. That for what purpose? That I may know Him. I may know the power of His resurrection. I may know the fellowship of His sufferings. Fellowship means a partnership, a sharing. He says, when I suffer, I just say, you know, He suffered. He suffered. And He didn't even have to come down to this earth. He took on a human form and He didn't have to. And He could have called 10,000 angels. And He didn't. He went through what He went through for me and for you. That we might have someone who's been down the same path. Tempted in all things like as we are and yet without sin. Went through all emotions, grief. When his friend Lazarus passed away. Grief at other times when he saw people mourning for their losses of kinfolks or our dear friends, loved ones. Paul longed to share in Christ's suffering. We must learn to bear the cross before we can expect to bear the crown. What way is the persecuted righteous blessed? Well, a lot of times when somebody says something against us as a Christian and we're seeking to do the right thing, they're acknowledging that we believe in Christ. John 15, verse 20, Jesus said, "The servant's not greater than his Lord. If they have persecuted me, they'll persecute you too." It identifies us as not of this world. And really, if you really want to look through everything, the pain and everything, it's a compliment. It's a compliment for the world to recognize us as belonging to Christ. No young people go to school, and there's a lot of peer pressure. But also, us older people have been on the job, and there's a lot of peer pressure there. There's a lot of peer pressure in anything and at any age. When you strive to do something that's not going the path down the path that the most people are traveling. Go to 1 Peter chapter 1. 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 6 through 9. This is a different writer. He's been directed by the same Holy Spirit, God, but he's a different individual. Peter talking to a number of churches throughout various regions. And in verse 6 of chapter 1, he says, "Wherein you greatly rejoice, though now for a season, if need be, you're in heaviness through manifold temptation." They were going through all kinds of trials. And he says, it's just for a season. Now, his season probably wasn't just 3 months long or 4 months long. Well, 3 months long. He's talking about a period of time. It may be their entire life, but it still would be just a season when compared to eternity. That the trial of your faith, being much more precious than gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. And having not seen your love, in whom though now you see him not yet believing, you rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory. Receiving the end of your faith, even the salvation of your souls, of which salvation the prophets have inquired, and searched diligently, who prophesied of the grace that should come unto you, the favor of God. Searching what? What manner of time? The Spirit of Christ which was in them did signify when it testified beforehand the sufferings of Christ and the glory that should follow. In Malachi chapter 3, in verse 3, Malachi speaks of God's people. He says, speaks of a purifying of God's people as does silver and gold, that the people might offer unto the Lord an offering in righteousness, that they might be right before God in that which they did. Persecution also produces and perfects patience, endurance. Some of the things we go through, one point in our life, prepares for what's going to happen in a later part of our lives. James 1 verse 3 says, "The trying of your faith works patience." Romans 5:24, the writer says, "We glory in tribulation, also knowing that tribulation worketh patience," or steadfastness. Patience, experience, and experience, hope. Those of you who are lucky to be disciplined enough to take physical exercise, I keep praying for, not for a nice physique, but I keep praying for the discipline to work on it. But in exercise, excuse me, when we're using a weight, I remember a long time ago, there's resistance there, isn't it? That's the way we gain strength, because there's a resistance. We pull, and there's weight pulling against us. And The resistance is the way by which we gain strength. And if we went through life and there was no resistance at all, you see people that have been brought up and you say, well, they've always had what they needed. They've never had to work for a dime. Well, are you bragging on them? Not usually. You usually find out that because they got what they did without any effort, they did not turn out the way they would turn if turned out as if they hadn't made the effort, had to make the effort. And to a certain extent, that's true in Christianity. In Hebrews 5, 8, and 9, Paul, or the writer there, speaking of Jesus, said he learned obedience by the things he suffered. Being made perfect, being made complete. And some of our suffering, though God doesn't tempt man, according to James chapter 1, verse 13, but God allows us, the trials to come upon us, and we're tested. 1 Corinthians 10, 13, though, gives us hope. Gives us a way, when we're tempted, a way out. God will not suffer you to be tempted. Above that, you're able. But a way of escape will be there that you may be able to bear it. At the conclusion of this beatitude in Luke 6, verse 23, Luke says, rejoice ye in that day and leap for joy, for behold, your reward is great in heaven. It's encouragement to Christians, because sometimes we're down in the valley, aren't we? Sometimes our emotions are drained. Sometimes we need uplifting. Listen to the Apostle Paul writing to the church of Corinth. After he wrote that 16 chapters in 1 Corinthians, problem after problem after problem. But he still sought to encourage them, didn't he? To be steadfast, knowing that their labor was not in vain in the Lord. And in 2 Corinthians 4, verse 17 and 18, he says, for our light affliction, he said, for the suffering that you're going through, Corinth was an idolatrous town. Had worshipped idols. These Christians had worshipped idols before they had become Christians. Many people in town, of course, were still worshipping idols. He says, our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. He said, it works out in the end. Why, we look not at things which are seen. Persecutions. Trials and pain. But at the things which are not seen, God, that hope we have. For the things which are seen, why, they're temporal, they're temporary. But the things which are not seen are eternal. Remember what Paul wrote as he ended his epistle to Timothy, 2 Timothy 4, verses 7 and 8. He said, I fought a good fight. He said, I've looked back and I fought a good fight. I finished my course and I kept the faith. You know, that's a good thing to come toward the end of our lives and look back during that last chapter and say, fought a good fight, finished my course, I've kept the faith. I've done what God has expected me to do. And here I am, God. Notice what he says next. Henceforth, he says, there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the judge, the righteous judge, the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day, and not for me only, but also all them that love his appearing. All them also that love his appearing. Paul knew the suffering of the cross, but he gained his strength through looking beyond the daily cross to the eternal crown that would be his. And notice the hope that's in his voice as he writes. He didn't say, you know, that maybe there's a crown of righteousness out there for me. I just hope, I hope, I hope, I hope. He said there is, because he had kept the faith. Blessed are ye which are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. The Beatitudes in Matthew 5 begin with this as the first one. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. And this last Beatitude says, blessed are the persecuted, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Begin by us dying to ourselves. Blessed are the poor in spirit. It ended by rejoicing in persecution in the face of physical death, these first century people. This morning, if you're here and you're not a Christian, why not come to Christ today, confessing Jesus as the Son of God? If you've studied on your own and are studied with someone, you believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and you're willing to confess that before this group today, repenting of your sins, then to be baptized that those sins might be washed away. You have the opportunity this morning as a Christian. If you desire prayers, you wish to rededicate your life to Christ, you have that opportunity. We stand and say.